Good evening. Welcome to Rock Solid Faith. I am not pastor. I'm pastor's sister. I'm Sherry Spencer, and I'm glad you could join us tonight. We are going to continue on where pastor left off last week. He actually skipped a chapter, so he went to chapter 3. I'm going to go back to chapter 2. But he actually preached part of chapter 2 last week, so we're going to just hit the highlights and move on at the, you know, towards the end where he didn't go. So let's open up in prayer, and we'll just ask the Lord to be here with us tonight. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for understanding, Lord. I thank you for the faith that is even arising in this room right now as we speak about your word tonight, Lord. I thank you for your anointing, and I pray, God, that you would help us to have ears to hear and then feet to put it into action tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right, so pastor's been talking about foundational principles. And last week he was talking about repentance. Repentance, again, is not just saying, I'm sorry, I wish I didn't get caught. It is true, actual turning of direction, repentance is, right? It's a complete turning of direction from the way that you're going. The opposite way of God, right? That's what we need to make sure we're doing. But we're not going to lay again those foundations of repentance. And let's look at Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to the perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. So we're not going to go ahead and get saved every single Sunday, right? That's not what we're talking about. When we lay a foundation, what happens? They put down certain things on the bottom, then they add the rest of it to the top, and they continue to build on the foundation to build a house, to build whatever they're building. And they don't go and rip out the bottom foundation as they start to build, right? Because it's solid. And as we study the Word of God, we are going to have a solid foundation. Amen?
Amen?
And that's why it's important that you're here. It's important that you're in classes and being in the Word on a daily basis because you're building your foundation, okay? I'm just going to hit the highlights where Pastor was over last week. Repentance from dead works. And again, that is turning 180 degrees from one direction to another, and it's not returning to your old mess, right? How many had a mess before they got saved? I did. And you know what? They also call it not going back to Egypt, right? The Israelites were taken out of Egypt by Moses. And after a certain period of time, they wanted to go back to their mess because it was easier than forging forward, right? A lot of times we find that it's easier to turn around because the stuff ahead of us is, difficult to deal with. You know, we have to deal with the consequences of our sin, all right? We're redeemed from it, but sometimes those consequences linger, amen, until we're completely delivered out of them. So when we were wandering, we have to deal with those things. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." So again, repentance is not saying I'm sorry. It's not that, oh, I got caught, you know, I wish I didn't get caught. It's not that. Repentance is when you realize that you have hurt Jesus, the one who's redeemed you, amen, from the curse of the law. We need to get to that place where we don't want to sin. You know, Pastor talked about that last week. We don't want to sin just because we know that Jesus is going to be disappointed in us. I was the one child that tried to obey my parents. Pastor was not. But I was the one child that I knew that if I did something wrong, it would be not only disobedient, but it would be a disappointment to my parents. And I didn't want, even today, I can't stand when someone's disappointed in me, right? It's something that I strive not to have happen and going on in my life. But the thing is that we want to get to that place where we choose not to sin just because we don't want to disappoint God, just because we don't want to be in sin, We don't want him to be upset with us, right? And that's a good place to be, amen? That's a really good place to be. Dead works. How many have ever had participated in dead works? Don't raise your hand. Dead works are when we try to do something to gain something, right? You're doing something just so you could be noticed, just so that you can, you know, gain something for your own self. And that is a dead work. We need to make sure that when we are called to do something, you are truly called to do something, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're participating in dead works. Salvation does not come because you and I are good enough, right? Salvation is a free gift. It's free to everyone. And there's no prerequisite except for that you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right? You don't have to get cleaned up first before you get saved. That's a good thing. And you can come just as you are. And it's not something that you can earn. We're never going to be good enough for God. We're never going to do anything good enough for God to get our salvation. Amen? God can't love you any more now than he did before you got saved. That's good news, right? He loves us unconditionally. When you're a parent, it's easy to love your kids unconditionally most of the time, right? You do have that one or two that tends to push your buttons. But for the most part, you can look past your children's faults and failures, right? And it's called unconditional love. If you're not a parent yet, you probably don't understand that, but you will someday. And you want the best for your child, even when they're not operating in the best way. And that's how God feels about us. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to live out his word. He has a good plan for our lives. Every single one of you, God has a good plan for your life. Isn't that good news? You don't have to be a mess up. You don't have to continue in your old ways. You can have a completely renewed heart, mind, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? A complete package. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. He loves us all the same. He doesn't play partiality. He doesn't play favorites. Amen? You know, there's a lot of families where there's a favorite child. Right? Pastor was not one of those. I was, no. But what I'm saying is in a lot of families, there's parents who play favorites. Oh, yeah. And kids feel that. Don't they feel that? Yes. Now, how would we feel if God actually played favorites? We wouldn't want to serve a God like that, right? What I have, you can have. What you have, I can have. There's no limits to the things that God has for us. And it's important that we understand that. He does not always agree with us, right? He is not always pleased with our choices and our decisions, because sometimes we don't choose his way. But there's grace. And there is grace, and he helps you get turned back around on the right path. And the longer you're walking out this Christian walk, you'll come to understand that you don't want to displease God. There's something that's attached to obedience. It's called blessings, right? I like to get blessed. I don't want to be in disobedience to God, because then my blessings stop, right? And it's not just because I want to get something from him, but I want to please him in every way. And when I am walking in disobedience, I am not pleasing him, and then he cannot bless me, right? And then I cannot be a blessing. It's a ripple effect, isn't it? All right, let's see. God loved us so much that he wills that nobody would perish. He has made a plan so that every single person, no matter what bad thing they've ever done on the face of this earth, that they can be saved, that they can go to heaven, that they can choose him. And there's nothing too big that has been done that God can't forgive. That's good news. There's no plan B. Jesus is plan, period. There's no plan B, right? There was only one plan. That's why it's important that as we live out our Christian walk, we find people to share our walk with. My walk has not been the same as Chad's walk. Your walk has not been the same as my walk. We have all had different experiences in our Christian walk, and we're going to be able to minister to different people. And God puts those people in our pathway. But the thing is that Jesus made God made a plan that no one has to go to hell. Nobody. No matter what. Let's look at 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then we all know John 3, 15, 16, and 17. Let's just go there, and we'll just read it out of the Word. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So that is the plan. Paul was talking to the church of Galatia when he was saying to them, why do you continue to, we already have the plan of salvation. Why are you adding stuff to it? And you find that a lot of denominations, they take the plan of the salvation plan of God, but then they add to it. There's conditions attached to it in some denominations. And that is taking the word and adding stuff to it. That is sin.
Why do they do that?
To fit their plan and their purposes, right? Their conditions. It's basically, I see it as more of a club when you're in these denominations. When they add to the salvation plan, you can't belong unless you do get saved, but then do this and this and this. And then you're walking it out right. That's not God's plan. God's plan is just that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. That is the plan, right? And there's so many other benefits that go with salvation. Pastor talked about it a couple weeks ago. Your healing is involved. Your wholeness, your mind, your spirit, soul, and body is all completely whole. It's not just that you get out of hell free card. There's so much more that goes along with your salvation plan. Amen? All right. Let's move over to Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You had nothing to do with the plan that God put together, right? Except for receiving it, but you can't boast that you had anything to do with how good you've turned out. It's only because God has been leading and guiding you into a right walk that you're turning out good. Right. That's right. And we don't want to take that credit. We want to make sure that God gets the credit. Amen. Let's look at I'm sorry, I'm losing my place here tonight. Galatians 1:6-9. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. There's dangers in adding to the word of God. All right? It's an abomination. There's dangers to it. You can't add to the word of God. It is yes and amen. It's done. Right? Like I said before, the denominations that add to it, take away from it, they're going to answer. Those pastors are going to answer for that, right? Because they've led people astray. That's why it's so important that you get in the Word, that you know what the Word says, that you have an understanding of what the Word says. And it's critical to your walk. What if you decided to take a trip, but you never put the map in your MapQuest? You never mapped anything. You just said, oh, I'll get there sooner or later. How can your walk be successful if you don't have anywhere where you don't even understand where you're going, right? And the same thing with your Christian walk. You have to have the word implanted on the inside of you so you know where you're going. You know what you're hearing is the truth. You understand where God is leading you and guiding you, right? All right, so how many have had experiences where an older Christian has been mentoring you, but they've made this whole Jesus thing really complicated? You know, there's a lot of churches. We grew up in a church where there was so many rules. You know, we grew up in the Pentecostal church, but at that time, there was, you can't go here, you can't go there, you can't do this, you can't do that. Jesus would not find you in the movie theater. He just would not. And he would not find you at a school dance. He would not find you anywhere. So you best not go to those places because you're not going to get found. And, you know, you probably don't want to go and do things that are going to expose you to the sin of the world, understandably so. But it's not that Jesus can't find you in the movie theater. But the church that we grew up in, that was like a hard and fast rule. You didn't go to the movies. You just didn't do the things that, I mean, if that was the case, Pastor would never be going to heaven because he's at the movies a lot. All right? He loves to go to the movies. I think he goes to the movies more because he couldn't go as a kid. Yeah, it's probably the popcorn. That's it. So when a lot of new Christians come in to some of these denominations and they do get saved, all of a sudden the rule list starts coming out, right? And they forget that they started in the same place at one point. We have to remember that if you've been walking as a Christian for a long time, the new people who are getting born again, they need to have a little bit of grace given to them, right? They're not going to change their speech overnight. They're not going to maybe do all the things that they're supposed to do right off the bat. But as they get in the Word, they will. And as they grow, they will. I mean, when I got saved, I mean, I grew up in the you know, Pentecostal church, but honestly, I walked away from God for 13 years, and I did everything that the world was doing. Why? Because I was living in the world. And for me, I knew the right way to go, and I still chose that way, right? But the decision time came where I had to make a choice. Either I'm going to serve God or I'm going to continue to serve the devil. And I no longer could have a pirate mouth. My mother doesn't know this. Sorry, Mom. But, I mean, I would swear, like, the best of them. Not around my mother. But, and I smoked cigarettes. You know, the thing is that for me, that was just something that I did because I was in the world. But I knew better, right? And when you get born again, it takes time for that stuff to come off from you. It takes time in prayer. It takes time in the Word for you to shake off some of those things. And we need to remember that the new people that are getting saved, they need that grace and they need love, right? They need to understand that God loves them. They need to understand that we love them, that we're here for them, and that we are, you know, encouraging them to come up higher. Amen? And it takes time. We got the whole package when we got saved. There was nothing missing from your benefits package. Not only did you get to get out of hell, which is always a good thing, but you got unconditional love, you got forgiveness, you got the Word of God, which is the map, your map, your guide. You also got a character makeover. How many have ever needed a character makeover before, right? You got fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You got everything that God had to give you. It's all in your bag. Now what are you going to do with it? You have to walk it out. You have to grow. And this is why you're in Rock Solid Faith, because you desire to grow. And that's awesome, right? We have to make sure that we're just guarding our hearts when it comes to the influences that we have coming in from the world. We work in the world, right? Dirt from the world gets on us, right? And we have to remember that as we are walking our walk out, that God requires us to be different than they are. Because people are watching you. Amen? They're watching you. We're going to talk a little bit about faith, which I absolutely, this is one of my most favorite subjects. I love talking about faith. Because I have had a lot of faith experiences with God, and I've seen him do a lot of great things in my life, and I want them to continue. Amen?
Amen.
What is faith? God is not moved by our needs. God is not moved by our hope. And God is only moved by faith. So I had a friend one time, and she was not born again, but she said, I have a lot of faith. And I said, well, what is your faith in? She goes, well, that I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do this. I said, but your faith isn't in God, right? You're not trusting God for anything. Trust, faith equals trust, right? Now, if I just met you on the street, I would not give you my bank card because I don't trust you, right? You haven't proven yourself to me yet. And, you know, you're probably a very nice person, but I'm not, still not going to give you my bank card or my passwords, right? Because I don't know you. And how can we have faith in God if we don't know him? Amen? That's why we have to have a personal relationship with him. Amen? It's we have to trust him. We have to believe that all the promises that he has given us in his word are actually true and that we can actually have them and we can receive them. And it takes practice. You cannot just wake up one day and decide that you're just going to, trust. You actually have to put it into action. You have to actually see some results. God is going to prove himself to you. When you begin to trust him, he will show you results so that you can trust him more, so that you can trust him for the next big thing. You know, we've all experienced different things where our levels of trust have been big and small. Some people just need to trust him for the light bill, right? To get the light bill paid. There's some people who have to just trust him that they can get off the couch to do the dishes that are in the sink, right? So, I mean, we all use different levels of trust, but trust is able to, and faith is able to be measured, and it's able to grow. The disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. So that tells me something. That means I can get more and more and more faith all the time.
Did a lot for me.
Did a lot for you. Yep. Exactly. And the thing is that the more we rely on him, the more we can trust him, the more faith that we get to believe for the next thing. I love believing God for money. That seems to be like the thing that happens to me, is I have to believe God for money. Here and there. There have been different times in my life that I have had to really put my faith out there because there's no way I can come up with $10,000. One time I needed $10,000, and I was an at-home mom. My husband was the only one working at the time, and I was taking care of kids. And babysitting kids, you don't make a lot of money,
right?
And I needed $10,000. We needed to pay off a debt. And I began to seed and believe God for that $10,000. And I had someone call me one day and said, God told me to give you $10,000. I'm like, seriously? Yes. And they wrote me a check for $10,000. And I was able to pay that debt off. Now, I've believed God for cars. You know, sometimes you need to believe God for big things. And if you can trust him in the small things, and build your faith, he will give you the bigger things. Amen? And it's not just things. It's even for growth, even your spiritual growth. You have to press in and trust that he's going to grow you. Amen? Faith is believing in something that you cannot see or touch in this tangible world, yet knowing that you've already attained it. Let's look at Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And the Amplified Version just kind of this one point, it says this one point. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, a title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we don't see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So when you buy a piece of real estate, you get a title to the property. It says it's yours, right? I don't even know if you guys know this, but as a real estate agent, we have to learn this in school. So you own that footprint of the property. Whatever, however big of the deed it says that you own that footprint. But not only do you own it on the land surface, but you own it to the infinity, into the sky, and you own it to the very center of the earth. You own that whole footprint. Did you know that?
Yes.
That's cool. And the thing is can you see the center of the earth?
No.
Did anybody tell you that you owned to the center of the earth? No. No. But you own it. It's a title. It's in your title. It's a title deed that you own all of this. But you don't know it, right? That's how a lot of Christians are operating today. They, you know, they think that they know everything about faith, but they're not believing for the thing that they can't see yet. Amen? And that's where God wants you to get to. He wants you to get to the place where you can believe him for the thing that you don't even see yet. Right? For the school bill that you have hanging over your head, right? For the, you know, the next bag of groceries, for the diapers for the kid's butt, you know, whatever it is, he wants you to believe for that, even though you don't see it yet. It's part of your provision. It's part of your benefits package. You know, you get a benefits package from your employer. You hope that you never have to use the death benefits. You get them, but you hope you never have to use them. You hope that you never have to use workman's comp benefits, but you have them if you need them, right? There's a whole package set there for you, right? But you hope you don't have to use those other portions, but if you had to, it's there. How do you know it's there? Because they told you, right? Do you actually have something that says that it's there? You might have a pamphlet, but until you have to tap into that benefit, you have no idea what is all entailed in it, right? So as we begin to think about faith in a different way, we need to understand that you're not going to know everything. You have to trust, right? You have to trust, and that's not easy to do. A lot of times we've experienced in our life a person has been untrustworthy or disappointed us or failed us. Well, that's not God. Amen? That's a person. And they will fail you every time. But your God will not fail you. Amen? Let's look at Romans 4:17. God who gives life to the death to the dead and calls those things which are not as though they exist. So when you're believing God for something and your faith is out there believing God for something, you're not believing him if you're looking at it, right? You have to actually know that the thing that you're believing God for is going to, it's already done in the spirit realm. It hasn't manifested in the physical realm yet. Amen? When you're seeding, you should have something that you're putting your seed towards, which you're believing God for. Amen? Money is an awesome way to seed. But not only money, time. Right? Your time, your work, whatever it is, you could be working in the church and seeding your work time in the church towards something that you believe in God for. We have to have an idea of what you want, right?
Yes.
You have to have an idea of what you're believing for. Maybe you need a new car. You know, God wants you to have a new car, and he wants you to have a nice new car. What kind of car do you want? You want a Mercedes-Benz? Well, he's going to be using his faith, isn't he? Because once he gets the car, you still have to make the car payment and pay the insurance, right? But one of the things I think that we don't understand is how our words are so creative to the atmosphere that we are building with our faith, right? So if I'm always talking doldrums, death, to, yeah, I really want a new car, but, you know, I probably won't get one. And, you know, I probably will, I won't get the money to make the car payment. Well, what if someone gives me a car and then I don't have the money to pay the insurance, right? I mean, we speak death about everything, but our words are so creative. The atmosphere is charged by our words. Amen? So we have to be careful of what we're talking about. We have to be careful of what we're saying. Your words, they're either going to create faith or doubt, right? Those are the two things, faith or doubt. What do you want? I want faith. I want faith to be activated. Amen? So your level of faith is measured by your trust in God, and our faith will show when we work with God on our issues. We all have issues. Does everyone have issues? Yeah. We all have issues, right? And when we're believing God for his deliverance of our issues, for us to be able to maneuver through them and to be overcomers of our issues, that, again, is a trust thing. We have to trust that his plan of how to maneuver us through these issues is the right plan. And trust me, God's plan is always right. Man plans his way, but God orders his steps, right? I mean, we make bad choices. Did anyone else ever make bad choices in this room? I've made some really poor choices in my life. And you know what? God has redeemed me from them, and he has, you know, rescued me many times. But if I don't get on his plan and I don't understand what his plan is, I'm going to continue to make bad choices. Amen? So it's important that our faith lines up with his word and then lines up with our choices. Faith can be measured and increased. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt each to each one of us a measure of faith." What's a measure of faith? The Bible talks about it being the faith of a mustard seed. Mustard seed is the smallest seed, right? So when you get your measure of faith, when you get born again, now it's up to you. Are you going to grow your faith? Are you going to ask God to increase your faith? If you, listen, if you ask God to increase your faith, you are going to get a trial and a temptation. I just hope you know, right? Did they come along with it? Because you can't grow your faith without going through a trial or a temptation. Right? James 1 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations," right? So that patience will have its perfect work in you and you won't be lacking anything. That is why we go through trials and temptations, right? So that we can come out on the other side knowing that God brought us out. Not that we did it, right? Because we're so fantastic. No, that God did it. He drew us out of those issues and those trials. He saved us, right? But our faith is tested during those times. Amen? Or at least mine is. Maybe you guys are not. And if that's the truth, then I think that's fantastic. But that hasn't worked that way for me. Matthew 6:30 says, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" When you get in the Word and you start reading what God wants you to have, what God wants to do for you, how can your faith not grow? You know, you have to get excited about what God is doing in the Word. And I was excited as I was studying my notes this week. Just, I was getting charged up. Just my faith was getting charged up just because I was in the Word and I was rehearsing again the things that God has done in my life. He has rescued me out of so many things, right? But it's me putting my faith into action, believing him even when I don't see it. Even when I don't see it, right? I have salvation, but I have to receive that, right? By faith. You can't get saved without receiving it by faith. All right. So how do we increase our faith? Faith is increased when we get into God's word, right? Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I remember my daughter was 5, and I was home at the time with the kids. But that was one of the first passages of scripture I made her memorize. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you're in the word, you can't help but your faith grow.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's positive. You know, you can look at, you can watch every self-help, you know, show, Dr. Phil or whoever else is on there today. I don't watch daytime TV, so I have no idea who's on there anymore. But, I mean, you can read every book, but the word of God is the best help book that you're ever going to read.
Amen.
Right? I mean, it will cover every issue that you're going to encounter. There is none that it won't cover. And we have to get to that place where we don't run to the TV or run to the bookstore except for to run to the word. Amen? And that will build your faith in God when you can see him deliver you. You know, and the other thing, too, is that's why Satan tries so hard to steal from you your faith, because he doesn't want you to have faith in God. He doesn't want you to have everything or see God do everything in your life that you're believing him for. Right. So he's trying to steal your faith every time he can, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to be aware, be sober, be vigilant, and watch over that your faith is not going to get stolen from you, right? Because you won't be able to do the things that God's called you to do, and you won't have the life that God has called you to have if you have no faith in him. Amen?
Amen.
So I lived in Maine before I moved here in 2009. I lived in a beautiful part of the state. It was right on the ocean. You know, I drove by the ocean every day to go to the grocery store. You know, after a while, you just drive by the ocean and you no longer really see the ocean. You're just driving because you're used to it, right?
Right.
A lot of times we're walking our Christian walk out and, you know, we're believing God for a little bit here and a little bit there, but we're no longer really noticing him anymore. We're kind of like on this road. We're just like, you know, we know he's there. He's in the background. But we're no longer really tapping our faith into him any longer. And we're no longer like noticing that he is our big rescue God. He is our Father. He is awesome. Kind of gets a little humdrum, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it's on us to make sure that we don't ever go to that place. When we are building our faith, we have to get in the word. We have to grow in the word. And we have to believe it. Prepare your heart when you're hearing and reading the word of God, and make sure it is going on good ground so that it's going to you're going to reap, right? 30, 60, 100-fold, sorry. I hate planting things and nothing grows. I have a black thumb. Yes, it's terrible. You know, plants actually say to me when I go to pick them up, please don't take me home, please.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because they know they're going to die. There's a good possibility they're going to die when they come to my house.
Got to water it.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But the thing is that when we're planting seed, when we're planting our faith in God, we should be expecting that we're going to get something back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Come on, you guys. Is this our Bible school group right here? We should be hearing a little more from you tonight. Be faithful daily to read the word. If you're not good at reading, get it on the app. Pastor's said it a million times. I can't listen to that and concentrate at the same time. It doesn't work for me. But, you know, there's so many ways to get the word into your spirit today. Way more than back in the 70s and the 80s, you know, you just had to read. But now you can hear it. Now you can hear it in different languages. You can hear it in different versions. If you don't understand the New King James Version, don't worry, the Message Bible is out there, or the New Living Translation or whatever. And you can get clear understanding. The opposite of faith is doubt. Doubting Thomas. Have you ever been a doubting Thomas? Yeah, I have. And you know, doubt is depressing. It brings you to a place of depression. If you're always doubting, you're going to be depressed, right? Because you're speaking negatively over your seed. You're speaking negatively over your family. And you're not going to have any faith because doubt will eat it. Amen? Doubt says that God says he's able, but I don't believe that he can really do it. We're calling him a liar is basically what we're doing, right? Doubt is actually saying that God's word isn't even true. Doubt is the cancellation seal of faith, and it's the opposite of faith. Doubt has stolen so much from the Christian world today, right? Of today, even of saints of old. I know so many people. My late husband, he started out when he was diagnosed with cancer. He started out in faith, believing God for his healing. But instead of continuing to walk out in faith, he let the enemy in. He got depressed. He began to speak doubt and unbelief. And he's gone, right? He's in heaven, and that's great for him. But, you know, I mean, he's not here. He's not here doing the things that God's called him to do. We all have a call of God on our life to do something for him. And if we don't walk in faith and we only walk in doubt and unbelief, we are not going to do those things. Amen? Doubt kept the children of Israel from entering the promised land. They spent 40 years walking around. That's a long time, right? That's a long time. Hebrews 3:18-19 says, "And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey?" So we see that they could not enter because of their unbelief. They were in unbelief. They couldn't go into the promised land. How can you walk in the promises of God if you don't believe? You can't, right? So that's why you have to make sure that your faith is active. Matthew 13:57-58 says, "But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Even in Jesus, he was in his own hometown. He couldn't do miracles, signs and wonders like he normally would because they didn't believe he was really who he said he was. Right? Doubt steals the word through circumstances and natural events. Let's look at Matthew 14:29-32. "So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased." Have you ever had an experience like that? You know, you start out right on top of things in faith, and then a big wave comes up, one big circumstance comes up, and you're like, "Oh, I don't think I can do this. Where's God? Where is he?" And you begin to doubt. Next thing you know, you're headed down a bad road. Right? And the thing is that Jesus is saying, "Oh, you of little faith, build your faith. You have the foundation, build on it." Right? Get in classes. I'm going to put my own plug in because everyone forgets to mention my class on Thursday night, so I'm going to put my own plug in. But Thursday night, 7 o'clock, we're starting the book of Ephesians over here on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. It's an adult Bible study. Please come. You know, that's part of building your foundation. It's part of building your faith. And Ephesians is an awesome book to be able to do that in. So I invite you to come to do that. When Peter walked to Jesus, he was not really walking on the water. He was walking on the word, right? That word, come, that Jesus said, come. That's all Jesus should have had to say was, come. Come on. Don't you trust me? Don't you believe that I can save you? Don't you believe that you're going to be just fine? And, you know, that same goes for us. When he's telling you to walk out a path, you have to believe that he knows what's on the other side of that walk. Amen? Amen. You might be going around a mountain, but he knows what the outcome is on the other side. And we like to know everything. Are we nosy? We're nosy. We want to know all the plans and all the details. But sometimes we don't need to know everything. Because if you knew everything, you would be like, "I'm not going." Right? When Peter took his eyes off from Jesus and allowed fear and doubt to overtake him, he began to sink. Mm-hmm. Same thing for us. When we are trusting God for something and we take our eyes off from him, we are going to sink. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to struggle. You know, you might be almost there. You might be just like two more steps and you have your miracle. You have your thing that you've been believing God for, but you give up just before the last two steps because you begin to doubt that this is really going to work, right? That this is really the plan of God. And we miss out sometimes because of that. Faith can be stolen because of life's circumstances if you allow it to be. You know? I mean, bad things happen to good people, you know? And the devil launches attacks on good people, Christian people. But we have the authority, amen? We have the authority over the devil. We have the authority over his plans. We can take authority. And a lot of times we don't bother to exercise our authority, right? Now, if you're a police officer, but you never exercise your authority, there's going to be mayhem going on in your world, right? Because you have the gun, you have the handcuffs, you have all the authority behind the state behind you, but if you never exercise the authority and arrest somebody who is drunk driving and is going to kill people, then, you know, what are you doing with it? Same thing for us as Christians. What are we doing with the authority that Christ has given us? We do not need to live boring, dilapidated lives. God has a rich life for each one of us. And we need to take authority over the devil when he starts acting up.
Amen.
All right, so this is truly one of my favorite scriptures. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. And I'm going to start in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold?
A wall.
Something that's buffeting up against you, right? A stronghold. Behind that stronghold is a lie, right? And it's fear, right? It's the lie of fear. And behind every fear is an idol. Did you know that? Idols are established wherever there exists a failure to trust in the provisions of God that are yours through Jesus. That's powerful right there. But do you believe it? Right? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, how many have ever had bad thoughts go through your brain? We all do, right? I mean, there's some times where they bombard you. You could be all day fighting, you know, taking authority over those thoughts. But that's okay. Nobody needs to know you're doing that, right? But God knows you're doing it. And the devil knows you're doing it. And when you take authority over those thoughts that are coming into your mind, that are trying to depress you, that are trying to bring you down and keep you captive, you have the authority of Jesus to say, in the name of Jesus, devil, get lost.
Amen.
Hands off my mind. I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to receive that bad report. I'm not going to receive that lie that you're trying to put on me. And that is that's totally and completely up to you. It's not easier said than done. It is easy. You can do it. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen? All right. So what are your weapons to pull down those strongholds? What weapons did God give us? He gave us the Word, sword of the Spirit. Yep. He gave us the blood of the cross, and he gave us the name of Jesus. Those are all the weapons we need. You don't need the latest and greatest 357 Magnum. You don't need, you know, some gun. You know, you don't need the latest and greatest equipment. The Word, the blood, and the name are the only things that you need to pull down the stronghold, right? And you need to practice it. Amen? You need to do it. I want you to commit to do it this week. Those things that come into your mind, those things that lead you astray, just humor me. Just take authority in the name of Jesus. Say, no way, devil. I'm not thinking about that. In the name of Jesus, get lost. I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. I'm not going to that place that you want me to go. I'm not going to say those awful things that you want me to say. I'm taking authority over those thoughts. Just try it. It will work. Amen? Amen. Because the word works when you work the word. Strongholds are pulled down and confronted. Bondages are broken as these spiritual weapons of our warfare are employed, right? And so you have to put them into action. You have to do it. Jesus has done all he's going to do for you. Now it's your turn to pick it up and go with it. Amen? Questions tonight? I'm so glad Pastor skipped a week so I could talk about faith. I love faith. I love it. It's very exciting. All right. So next week he'll be back. I think we'll be in part 4, I think, next week in chapter 9. God willing, if that's where he decides not to skip over. But anyways, don't forget to give your offering tonight. You know, we don't want to come to the house of God without a blessing for him. Amen. And make sure that you come out to my Bible study Thursday night at 7 o'clock over here. Oh, I think I'm being moved over here this week. So over here, I'll actually be in the lobby at just before 7 o'clock. So if you're lost, I'll find you. All right? And come to church on Sunday and talk to somebody about Jesus this week. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Have a great evening.